RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Australia make new approach to prevent peat fires and help farmers combating climate change. Indonesian Vice President talks about the U.S. future with Obama. Now the news in detail. Australia will work with Indonesia's forestry and agricultural industries to prevent forest and peat fires as part of wider effort to mitigate and adapt to the effects of climate change. That was announced in a press release by Australian Embassy in Jakarta on Sunday, November 20. Earlier, Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has announced that an Australian land care package to better support countries in the Indo-Pacific region meet their emissions reduction targets, with Indonesia as the main focus. Julie Bishop said Australia will provide $10 million to help Indonesia achieve its goal for a low-carbon and more efficient agricultural and forestry sector, which are its largest sources of emissions and economic activity. Australia and Indonesia have worked to combat the peat and forest fires in 2015, sending a water bombing plane to Sumatra and providing vital equipment in Riau, East Kalimantan, and West Kalimantan to give immediate relief to communities suffering respiratory and other illnesses as a direct result of the smoke haze. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked about the future of U.S. policy after Donald Trump was elected to President Barack Obama on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC conference in Lima, Peru, on Sunday afternoon local time. Barack Obama reminded all states not to anxious to the Donald Trump's campaign, which will apply protectionism. Yusuf Kalla explained the APEC summit in Lima discussed more about U.S. policy under the government of Donald Trump next year. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the APEC summit has produced 350 lines communique that contain a lot of things, including a joint commitment to achieve free trade without discrimination, as desired by declarators of APEC in Bogor, West Java, or Bogor Goals in 1994. The total assets of the Indonesian Sharia banking industry in the third quarter of 2016 reached 331 trillion rupiah, accounting for 5.13% of the national banking industry's assets. Chief of OJK, or Financial Service Authority Regional Office in Northern Sumatra, Lukdir Gultom, said at a campaign, "I love Sharia compliant finance," in Medan, North Sumatra on Sunday, November 20, that the figure outstrips the target set by OJK at 5%. By campaigning for Sharia-compliant finance continuously, the public will increasingly be acquainted with and love Sharia financial products and services, and that the Sharia banking industry will grow at a faster pace. Lukdirsat, OJK continued to encourage the Sharia-compliant financial service industry covering banks, non-bank financial institutions, and the capital market. Lukdirsat, now Indonesia has a total of 13 Sharia commercial banks, 21 Sharia business units, and 165 Sharia rural bank. OJK will try to increase their number. The German government interested in managing the geothermal energy in West Java. This was revealed by Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary of the Federal Republic of Germany to the Republic of Indonesia, Michael Freyrer von Oranienstein-Berg, during a visit to Bandung, West Java last weekend. According to Steinberg, Germany interested in investing in geothermal energy after visiting a geothermal power plant in Kamojang, Garut, West Java. In addition, the West Java provincial government is also able to establish more cooperation with the German government in the field of economy and education. Meanwhile, West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan said West Java has the largest geothermal energy sources in the world, while Germany has a lot of expertise in the management of geothermal. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Some Indonesian non-profit organizations such as Child Protection Group, the Children's Protection and Study Center, JARAK, Rumah Faye, and Gugah Nurani Indonesia will hold a national conference on child protection on November 21 to 22 in a bid to get commitments from regulators, business people, and academicians to find solutions for the child exploitation and abuse that is rampant across the country. Ms. Ran Lubis, the director of PKPA, or the Children's Protection and Study Center, told in a press conference on Sunday, November 20, they want to supervise the policies that had been made by regulators concerning children and ensure that the government allocates a sufficient budget for it. The two-day event consists of panel discussions about the children protection systems in Indonesia, a global study on the sexual exploitation of children in travel and tourism, and best practices that could be implemented in areas beyond where they were formulated. More than 200 people and 40 speakers from government institutions, non-governmental organizations, and the general public, as well as researchers and academicians, were expected to participate in the conference. The Jakarta police have issued a ban on street protests to prevent another massive anti-Ahok rally planned for December 2nd. An organization called the National Fatwa Guardians of the Indonesia Ulama Council, or GNPF MUI, has called for the immediate arrest of Jakarta Governor Basuki Ahok Cahyapurnama and said it will take the streets again to force the case on December 2nd. Jakarta Police Chief General Inspector M. Irawan said on Saturday the group will be allowed to hold protests but not on the streets. They can rally, but please find other places other than the streets. Irawan said the legal process on the blasphemy case against the Jakarta governor is already underway and everybody should respect it. Irawan pointed out that the Indonesian Ulama Council itself has called on Muslims not to rally on the streets of Jakarta to protest against Ahok. The last item. Masked gunmen kidnapped two Indonesian fishermen in waters of eastern Malaysia and military units were on alert to intercept them as they headed toward the southern Philippines, the army said on Sunday, November 20. Five men snatched the two fishermen late on Saturday from a Malaysian-registered fishing trawler off Sabah. The army suspects the incident could be the work of Abu Sayyaf rebels. The gunmen and their victims sped off toward the southern Philippines. Army spokesman Major Philmon Tan told reporters, adding ground and naval units were trying to intercept the assailants. Abu Sayyaf operates in Sulu Archipelago, close to Malaysia, and was founded with a separatist agenda, pledging allegiance to Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. But it is better known for its lucrative acts of banditry and piracy that have not abated, even as Philippine troops step up offensive to dismantle the network. President Rodrigo Duterte discussed the maritime threat of Abu Sayyaf with Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak recently, agreeing to cooperate to stop the kidnapping. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia and Australia make new approach to prevent peat fires and help farmers combating climate change. Indonesian Vice President talks about the U.S. future with Barack Obama. That was the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Improving Performance of Sports in Indonesia. Amid the Basel campaign of regional election in Indonesia, the people of Indonesia grabbed a beautiful gift at the end of 2016. Indonesia is successful in seizing two championship titles at once in defense of China Open 2016 Super Series premiere in Haixi Olympic Sports Center, Fuzhou, China. At the final match of China Open 2016 that took place on Sunday, Indonesian's mixed double pair, Tantowi Ahmad Liliana Natsir, managed to beat the host pair, San Nant Lee Yun Hui, and the men's double pair, Marcus Fernaldi Gidon, Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo, defeated senior pair, Denmark's Mathias Bu and Karsten Mogensen. For the first time in the history of this tournament, the host China did not grab any title. Previously, at least, they got two titles out of five numbers that were contested, namely the men's singles, women's singles, men's doubles, women's doubles, and mixed doubles. Since China Open tournament was held for the first time in 1991, Indonesian badminton athletes have always won at least one title at the China Open tournament. In 1991, Alan Budi Kusuma won the men's single. In 1992, Indonesia even won three titles at once, namely in the men's singles, men's double, and mixed doubles. In 1993, Indonesia was able to achieve two titles, men's singles and men's doubles. China Open in 1995, 1997, 1999, 2001, 2002, and 2003, Indonesia did not grab at all. In 2004 to 2007, Indonesia won the men's doubles and mixed double. Before 2016, Indonesia was only able to win one title, mixed doubles. The accomplishments that were achieved by Tantowi Ahmad and Liliana Natsir and Marcus Fernaldi Gidon and Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo are good news for the sport field in Indonesia, especially badminton. Indonesian achievements in the field of sports had been poor since 2000. At SEA Games, for example, Indonesia usually became general champion, but now it is only a contestant. In SEA Games 2011, Indonesia became champion and it was Indonesian as a host. In fact, before, Indonesia was able to be winner 9 times. Indonesia needs proper strategies to improve the sport field in Indonesia. The development which has been done by both the government and the private sector to Indonesian athletes is still less adequate. This evidence from the achievement of Indonesian athletes who saw inconsistency in any sport events. There are many factors that affect the performance of Indonesia, such as inadequate training facilities. The most fundamental point is that the performance of athletes is not maximized due to lack of exercise and competent coach. Everything needs strong support and serious attention, especially from the government. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. We meet you again in our daily program Today in History over our rival service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on November 21, 1905, when Secret of Mass Energy Equivalence of Albert Einstein was published.
Thank you.
Albert Einstein was a German-born theoretical physicist. He developed the general theory of relativity, one of the two pillars of modern physics alongside quantum mechanics. Einstein's work is also known for his influence on the philosophy of science. He is best known in the popular culture for his mass-energy equivalence formula, which has been dubbed the world's most famous equation. He received the 1921 Nobel Prize in Physics for his services to theoretical physics, in particular his discovery of the law of photoelectric event, a key step in the evolution of quantum theory. On 21st November 1905, the script of mass-energy equivalence of Albert Einstein was published. To appreciate him, a unit in the photochemical was named Einstein, a chemical element was named Einsteinium, and an asteroid was named 2001 Einstein. The next event was in 1916 when Franz Josef Wundt, or Francis Joseph Wundt, died. Franz Josef Wundt, or Franz Josef Wundt, was Emperor of Austria and a King of Hungary, Croatia, and Bohemia from 2 December 1848 until his death on 21 November 1916. He came from the dynasty of Habsburg. At the age of 13 years old, he began a career as a colonel in the Austrian armed forces. He became Emperor of Austria when Ferdinand abdicated at the end of the Revolution of 1845 on December 2, 1848. When World War I broke out, Austria-Hungary alliance with Germany, but their army did not have the preparation and proper equipment. One reason was the conservative attitude of Franz Josef. He rejected the suggestion that the soldier got new weapons. Abdul Muiz Hasan was a young figure in national movement in the Dutch and Japanese colonial period, as well as the freedom of fighters of Samarinda and East Kalimantan on the Physical Revolution 1945-1950. He also has become governor of East Kalimantan in the period 1962 until 1966. In May 1940, Abdul Muiz Hasan initiated the establishment of national youth organization LINT, named Rakun Pemuda Indonesia, or Rapindo. When he was 18 years old, he, together with Sang Haji, activated Neutral School to become Hall of Teaching and Educational People, BPPR, in 1942. After the Republic of Indonesia proclaimed the independence on 17 August 1945, while Samarinda and East Kalimantan did not join the Republic of Indonesia yet, Abdul Muiz Hasan joined in Dr. Suwaji movement, who planned proclamation of independence in Samarinda. Then he fought through diplomacy movement line in place of local political party, namely Ikatan Nasional Indonesia or Indonesia National League, INI, and coalition of organizations, namely Front National. In 1946, he established INI of Samarinda branch. In 1947, he pointed out by INI to be head of the Front National. The two organizations, which had headquarters at Gedung Nasional Samarinda, expressed the attitude to support the Republic of Indonesia and against the Dutch occupation of Indonesia. On June 30, 1962, President Sukarno installed Hasan Abdul Muiz as a governor of East Kalimantan. Abdul Muiz died on November 21, 2005. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is our arrival service, Voice of Indonesia, with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is on Indonesian participation on the APEC Summit in Peru. The Summit of Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC was held again on 19 until 20 November in Lima, Peru. Some state leaders were present to discuss problems of the world economy to seek solutions. The Indonesian government also did not want to miss it and sent Vice President Yusuf Kalla to attend a series of meetings at the APEC summit. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Vice President Yusuf Kalla was accompanied by Mufidah Kalla, Industry Minister, Airlangga Hartarto, Minister of Trade, Enggartiasto Lukito, Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister, I.M. Fajir, some high official and Vice President expert team. They arrived in Lima on Friday, November 18, and were welcomed by Philippine high government official and Indonesian ambassador to Peru and Bolivia, Munir Ari Sunanda. Vice President Yusuf Kalla attended serious meetings such as the 24th APEC Economic Leaders Meeting, AELM, themed Quality Growth and Human Capital Development, Foundations for Sustainable Growth in the Asia-Pacific, and Bilateral Meeting with Vietnamese President Truong Tan Sang and Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea, Peter O'Neill. In the APEC Summit 2016, there were three main issues of national importance and need to be followed. These are the continuation of discussion on regional cooperation for rural development, poverty eradication, the implementation of APEC 2015-2025 connectivity blueprint, and the strengthening of maritime cooperation. Deputy Foreign Minister Ian Fajir, after the APEC ministerial meeting in Lima, revealed that Indonesia welcomed the adoption of APEC education strategy and the APEC baseline status report on current education. On the occasion, Indonesia stressed on the importance of APEC education strategy implementation to reduce the number of unemployment, especially younger generation, through the strengthening and harmonization of competence and capacity of the individual with the needs of industry. Deputy Affairs Foreign Minister Fajir also explained about strategy steps that had been taken by the Indonesian government in the field of education, including improvement of the curriculum and the quality of vocational education, and the launch of the 1 million entrepreneurs movement to improve the ratio of national entrepreneurs until 2% in 2019 compared to the previous ratio reaching only 1.6%. Additionally, during the APEC summit, Indonesia also conducted a series of bilateral meetings with Hong Kong, Taiwan, Russia, Japan, Peru, and Chile. Apart from that, Indonesia also met with U.S. Chamber of Commerce on the sidelines of the APEC. As quoted from Okezon.com, Trade Minister Enggartiasto Lukito brought up several things in the meetings, including investment constraints. He said that the Indonesian government is willing to open up and obelisk barriers. If there are obstacles, just keep the data. Indonesia will help solve problems in the field. Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto, on the sidelines of the Summit of Economic Cooperation Asia-Pacific APEC, said that the government of Indonesia invited Vietnam to jointly implement sectorial wage in industry. He said Indonesia proposed that there is a platform alongside the sectorial wage industry so that Indonesia and Vietnam were not fitted by investors. Minister Airlangga also said that so far, certain labor-intensive industry have carried out different wages without calculating the price at the end of consumer, which often greatly benefits the global investor. So Indonesia expects the equality of human development is also related to human rights and universal values. Listener, that was today's Focus, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Australia will work with Indonesia's forestry and agricultural industries to prevent forest and peat fires as part of wider effort to mitigate and adapt to the effects of climate change. That was announced in a press release by Australian Embassy in Jakarta Sunday, November 20. Earlier, Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has announced that an Australian land care package to better support countries in the Indo-Pacific region meet their emissions reduction targets, with Indonesia as the main focus. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked about the future of U.S. policy after Donald Trump was elected to President Barack Obama on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC conference in Lima, Peru on Sunday afternoon, local time. Barack Obama reminded all states not to acquiesce to the Donald Trump's campaign, which will apply protectionism. The total assets of the Indonesian Sharia banking industry in the third quarter of 2016 reached 331 trillion rupiah, accounting for 5.13% of the national banking industry's assets. Chief of OJK, or Financial Service Authority Regional Office, in northern Sumatra, Lukdir Gautam said at a campaign, "I Love Sharia Compliant Finance," in Medan, North Sumatra on Sunday, November 20, that the figure outstrips the target set by OJK at 5%. The German government interested in managing the geothermal energy in West Java. This was revealed by Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary of the Federal Republic of Germany to the Republic of Indonesia, Michael Freyrer von Oranienburg, during a visit to Bandung, West Java last weekend. According to Sternberg, Germany interested in investing in geothermal energy after visiting a geothermal power plant in Kamojang, Garut, West Java. Some Indonesian non-profit organizations such as Child Protection Group, the Children's Protection and Study Center, JARAK, Rumah Faye, and Gugah Nurani Indonesia hold a national conference on child protection on November 21 to 22 in a bid to get commitments from regulators, business people, and academicians to find solutions for the child exploitation and abuse that is rampant across the country. The Jakarta police have issued a ban on street protests to prevent another massive anti-Ahok rally planned for December 2nd. An organization called the National Fatwa Guardians of the Indonesian Ulama Council, or GNPF MUI, has called for the immediate arrest of Jakarta Governor Basuki Ahok Cahayapurnama and said it will take the streets again to force the case on December 2nd. Masked gunmen kidnapped two Indonesian fishermen in waters off eastern Malaysia, and military units were on alert to intercept them as they headed toward the southern Philippines, the army said on Sunday. Five men snatched the two fishermen late on Saturday from a Malaysian-registered fishing trawler off Sabah. The army suspects the incident could be the work of Abu Sayyaf rebels. Listener, that was News in Brief.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of destinations in Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Central Java is one of provinces which has many tourism objects, but it is rarely explored by tourists. Banyumas City, for example, has many hidden tourism objects. One of them is Batu Raden, which has appeared on social media more recently. One of favorite places in this region is Jenggala Waterfall. Jenggala Waterfall is named Tempuan Waterfall because Jenggala Waterfall is a connecting spot of some rivers which still has natural scenery. There are shady trees surrounding the waterfall which add romantic nuance. Jenggala Waterfall has three other waterfalls which are parallel and open out. Being aware of the potential of the waterfall tour, local communities and government have started fixing this place by improving entrance access to the waterfalls and by providing some public facilities for tourists. Jenggala Waterfall is located at Ketengger Village, Kalipago Hamlet, Baturaden Sub-District, Central Java Province. The location of Jenggala Waterfall is still on Perhutani land of East Banyumas. The road to Jenggala Waterfall starts from Purwokerto City to Baturaden Natural Tourism Object or Small World in Baturaden. Then, the trip continues to Bayan Waterfall and it's straight to Kalipago Village. Beginning from Kalipago Village, there are many signboards to the location. Listener, Jenggala Waterfall is a new place and still in development process. Because of that, some facilities are provided yet. But you do not have to be worried about, because toilet and fitting room are available. The favorite location at Jenggala Waterfall, which often appears in social media, is wooden deck forming heart at front of the waterfall. On this deck, you can take picture because this place has beautiful scenery. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Jenggala Waterfall in Central Java Province. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Ke Cirebon, which in English means going to Cirebon. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Pergi. Pergi, which means to go. Kemana. Kemana. Where. Stasiun. Stasiun. Station. Membeli. Membeli. To buy. Karcis, karcis, tiket. Kereta api, kereta api, train. Pernah, pernah, ever. Kesana, kesana, there. Naik bus, by bus. Suka, suka, to like. Banyak, banyak, many. Objek wisata, tourism object. Menarik, menarik, be interesting. Selain, selain, besides. Batik, batik, batik. Kota, kota, city. Terkenal, terkenal. Be famous. Kuliner. Kuliner. Culinary. Panas. Panas. Hot. Provinsi. Provinsi. Province. Jawa Barat. Jawa Barat. West Java. Pesisir utara. Pesisir utara. North Coast. Pulau Jawa. Pulau Jawa. Java Island. Maaf. Maaf. Sorry. Lain kali. Lain kali. Next time. Ngobrol. Ngobrol. Chatting. Now, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Ke Cirebon, or in English means going to Cirebon. The conversation is between A. Nancy and B. Rina. A. Nancy. Rina, kamu mau pergi kemana? Rina, kamu mau pergi kemana? Which means, Rina, where do you want to go? B. Rina. Saya mau ke stasiun. Saya mau ke stasiun. Which means, I want to go to the rail station. Saya mau membeli karcis kereta. Saya mau membeli karcis kereta api. Which means, I want to buy the train ticket. Saya mau ke Cirebon. Saya mau ke Cirebon. Which means, I want to go to Cirebon. A. Nancy. Ke Cirebon. Ke Cirebon, which means to Cirebon. Saya pernah pergi ke sana. Saya pernah pergi ke sana, which means I have ever been there. Tetapi saya naik bus. Tetapi saya naik bus, which means that I went there by bus. B. Rina. Apakah kamu suka kota Cirebon? Apakah kamu suka kota Cirebon? Which means, do you like Cirebon City? A. Nancy. Ya, saya suka kota Cirebon. Ya, saya suka kota Cirebon. Which means, yes, I do. I like the city. Banyak objek wisata yang menarik di sana. Banyak objek wisata yang menarik di sana, which means there are many interesting tourism objects there. Selain itu, kulinernya juga sangat lezat. Selain itu, kulinernya juga sangat lezat, which means in addition, the city also has delicious culinary. B. Rina. Ya, selain kota batik, Cirebon juga terkenal dengan kulinernya. Iya, selain kota batik, Cirebon juga terkenal dengan kulinernya. Which means, yes, besides the city of batik, Cirebon also famous with its culinary. Tetapi kotanya sangat panas. Tetapi kotanya sangat panas. Which means, but the city is very hot. A. Nancy. Cirebon adalah salah satu kota yang berada di Provinsi Jawa Barat. Cirebon adalah salah satu kota yang berada di Provinsi Jawa Barat, which means Cirebon is one of cities in West Java. Kota ini berada di pesisir utara Pulau Jawa. Kota ini berada di pesisir utara Pulau Jawa, which means the city is located in the north coast of Java Island. B. Rina. Betul. Betul. Which means, right. Maaf, saya harus pergi sekarang. Maaf, saya harus pergi sekarang. Which means, sorry, I have to go now. Lain kali kita ngobrol lagi. Lain kali kita ngobrol lagi. Which means, next time we'll chat together. Sampai jumpa. Sampai jumpa, which means See you. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you Kroncong Song, sung by a talented Indonesian kroncong singer, M. Rivani. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Rindu Lukisan. Happy listening.
Rindu lukisan mata suratan hatiku nan merindu. Rindu bayangan nan meliputi para sari wajahmu. Mengapa membisu seribu pasang? Mengapa mendusta seribu kata? Dan merindukan kumbang. Dapatkah kumbang mencapai rembulan? Rindu katakan rindu, usah kau malu karena asmara. Risau engkau, risau deh aku pun maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu, aku pun demikian. Rindu sudah nasi untung di badan. Suratan hatiku nan merindu, rindu bayangan nan meliputi para sari wajahmu. Mengapa membisu seribu pasang? Mengapa mendusta seribu kata? Mungkinkah bulan merindukan kumbang? Dapatkah kumbang mencapai rembulan? Rindu katakan rindu, usah
Risau engkau, risau di aku pun, maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu, aku pun demikian. Rindu sudah nasi untung di badan.
The song describes the feeling of longing between a couple of lovers. The song Rindu Lukisan, which was composed by Ismail Marzuki, an Indonesian talented composer, using figurative words in most of the lyrics. The song is more perfect with the beauty of vocal owned by M. Rifani. Although it is an old song, but the song is still enjoyable until nowadays. Rindu Lukisan is a long-lasting song composed by Ismail Marzuki. This song is not only sung by Indonesian musicians and singers, but also in foreign countries. In 1981, the song was sung by the late Gito Rolis, as well as the video clips, which is taken from fragments of the film Kereta Terakhir. The song was taken from an album Keroncong Old Songs Volume 2, production of Gema Nada Pertiwi in 2006. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Aryati by M. Rifani. Happy listening.
Aryati, di kau mawar asuhan rembulan. Aryati, di kau gemilang seni pujaan. Dosakah hamba dengan Tuhan, ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba mawar di taman hayalku, tak mungkin Tuhan terpetik daku. Namun aku bahagia seribu satu dosakah hamba mimpi berkasih dengan Tuhan, ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba memuja di kau dalam mimpi? Hanya dalam terpetik daku. Walaupun demikian nasibku, namun aku bahagia seribu satu
Aryati is another song composed by Ismail Marzuki, who remained popular until at present. The song is also long-lasting one, although it was composed in 1940s. The song talks about admiration to a woman who has not been revealed. The feeling was extremely strong, so that it carried on in a dream. Besides Amri Fani, this song is also sung by a number of other Indonesian singers in pop genre. Despite having a strong vocal character and broad much rendition of Kroncong genre, but there is lack information that explores about the life and singing career of Amri Fani. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Indonesia Pusaka and Selendang Sutra by Amri Fani. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
dapat berlindung di hari tua sampai akhir menutup mata sampai akhir menutup mata.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.